Feral Audio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. What time is it? Well, it's a podcast. You can listen to it anytime. It's time for another. It's time. I'm drunk. I'm Drew Drogi, and it's Minor Revelations. Hi. I was just trying to avoid saying it's time. It's time. Speaking of it's time, oh my God, the world. The world, what is going on? Okay, so it's been a couple weeks, and I know I do these in advance, and the last podcast I did was days before the election, and in my opening rant I had a whole section about how I was just happy and everything was going really well, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. And I listened to the show as I, you know, we edit them down. Believe it or not, we do edit the show down. I do take things out. So I had to take it out. Because, you know, the world is different immediately. And I was like, I don't feel happy. I don't feel like everything's all right. I feel completely terrified and sad. I'm very sad about what's happened with the election. And oh, my God, it's already at the point where what do I have to say that no one has said before about all of this? And I know by the time that this, you know, drops, there'll be even more stuff. And who knows? Every day is an adventure because we are living in a reality show. And it is it's fascinating and horrible. And really, it is really terrifying and really crazy to think that you know, I was living in such a bubble. I was so arrogant. I was so confident that Donald Trump wasn't going to be president. Like, of course not. That's crazy, right? And the whole ride, the whole way through, you know, he rode on that arrogance and really that ignorance of, you know, us versus the other side of the country. And you know, and I should have known better, because I've always said that the most popular person, you know, wins the election. Now, granted, yes, Hillary did win the election by the popular vote. And as of today, it's like over 2 million votes worth. So yes, there is that. So of course most of us did the right thing, but the person that ends up winning that job is always the bigger star, and the one that people quote unquote like more, or the one that's the more fascinating or the more interesting. I mean, it's, you know, look at Ronald Reagan, look at both of the Bushes, look at Clinton, look at Obama, look at Trump. Like that, those people, they stand out. If you look about who they ran against, that person may have been way more qualified or not. I mean, on both sides, I mean, you know, but you know, it's about that. And I think about when I was in high school, I ran for student council secretary, which is very similar to the United States presidency, I must say. And I ran against this girl who got up in her campaign speech. She talked about all of her qualifications, how she knew exactly how to do everything right. And this is how she served on this committee and on this club. And she'd been this and this. I, however, got up in front of the school, or actually we made videos then, very crudely, early, mid-90s, crude videos. But I lip-sync to What a Man by Salt and Peppa, and I won by a landslide, because people don't care that you're actually going to do the job well. And you know, when you're secretary of the student council at Lincoln High School in 1994, who cares? But when you're president of the United States, that is terrifying. But I do think that the same things are true. They're like, we're fed up. We don't like government. This guy is going to take us out of it. Meanwhile, you know, obviously he doesn't care about anyone but himself. And this is where we are. But it came from all of us, you know, being selfish and all of us being stupid about this whole thing. And, you know, and again, like, not to blame anyone. And the other thing too is I've always consider myself an independent. I'm not a raging Democrat. I have a lot of issues with Republicans and Democrats. So I'm obviously I vote for the Democrats because the Republicans want to blow me up or put me in camps. But, you know, I mean, so obviously, but I felt like, you know, we weren't thinking big picture. And the only person who could have gotten out of this shit was Hillary Clinton. That's why a few weeks ago I said, that's what you're doing. You have to do that, regardless of your opinions or your feelings or whatever. But, you know, we had all these, you know, so everyone thought about their own needs over the needs of the country. They were like, this is what I need. You know, Trump's going to get me jobs. I don't care that he's racist and a bigot and, you know, everything else that we can say about him, a bully and a horrible human being. It doesn't matter. So that's it. I think that we are, you know, it's important for us to stay angry, to stay alert, to stay focused with love and think big picture, you know, because I also think we have to just prepare ourselves for Mike Pence to be our president. That's what I think is going to happen. What do I know? I know nothing, but I do think that Trump will be impeached. Trump has loyalty to no one. And so someone somehow at some point, or Trump is going to walk away from the whole thing and say, I don't want this job, which could also happen. Anything can happen. But I do think that Mike Pence is going to be it. And that is terrifying to me as a gay person and as a human being, as someone who loves women. But at least he is an evil that we understand. At least he is an evil. He is a system that we get. I mean, Trump is scary because he's so unpredictable. Trump is, I think, less evil than Mike Pence. I really do. And, you know, at the time of this podcast, the Hamilton thing just happened. So I know we're going to be tired of that. But something that, like, no one has talked about yet, and this is something I've heard from, I know someone who is in Hamilton because I'm very well connected, you guys. Here's something, and this may come out in the next couple of weeks, but the Hamilton thing. Twice a year, Broadway shows get up on stage after the show is over and they speak about Broadway Cares, which is Equity Fights AIDS. And they raise money for AIDS research and AIDS prevention. So that was the place they were doing it. They did not interrupt the show. They didn't, you know, make a special announcement. You know, they were going to talk anyway to the audience, which shows do on Broadway twice a year. And that's when they, you know, if you've seen a show and cast members hold the giant buckets at the door, that happens. So they use the opportunity to speak to Mike Pence, who has openly, used such hate speech and wants to promote conversion therapy and, all that to a, you know, he walks into a Broadway theater. Well, you know, you got the best respect you could hope for, buddy, because they only asked for him to respect all Americans as equals. And, you know, this is something where, you know, for Trump to say that theater should be a safe space, absolutely not. Theater is not a safe space. Theater is the place where we reflect the times and reflect what's going on. And nothing did that more beautifully than Hamilton. Hamilton's a perfect show. And that's what those people were doing. They were asking for understanding and all of that. So that's what that's about. And that's why they did that. And I think it's good for us to keep doing those things. That's the point of our art. That's the point of us to keep doing things, keep making a mess. Don't trust anyone in charge. That's the other thing. These people in charge, even I love Barack Obama. He will be the greatest president in my lifetime, at least so far, without a question. But, you know, the people in charge are the people in charge. They don't know what's up. So don't rely on them. Don't sit back and be arrogant again and think they have it covered. They're going to do this. No, we have to do this. We have to take charge of things. And it might be as small as smile at someone today or take somebody's in or listen to someone or make something that makes you upset or create out of that space or create out of a space of need for love or connection or whatever. And, you know, let's not do this again. Let's remember this. And also don't vote from a place of selfishness. Listen, I vote for the SAG Awards every year, and that's the actors union. They vote for acting awards, and I always vote with my heart for those. I voted for Nicole Kidman for The Paperboy that year that everybody knew Anne Hathaway was going to win because she pushed mush breath through rotten teeth and twitched through a very thin performance. We all knew Anne Hathaway was going to win. I voted for Nicole Kidman because I thought she was brilliant in The Paperboy. I voted for Sarah Silverman last year for I Smile Back because I thought it was a revelation. I vote for the underdog because I care about that. Those are the acting awards. This is our country. We need to think big picture, bring it back. And The other thing is, if we get Mike Pence, I say bring it on. Bring it on, Mike. We've been there before. We're going to fight. We're going to deal with you. We've dealt with this all before. And I've always been scared over the last couple of years as gay people get more and more accepted. My biggest fear about it on the other side was we're creating a lot of gay assholes. When 10-year-olds come out and they say I'm gay and their parents support them, they can become little shits really easily and not, you know, have a purpose and not realize that, oh, I have something to fight for. Well, now you do. So welcome. And let's unite. Let's activate. Let's do this shit. All right. Salt and pepper. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Hello.
There's always that weird moment of like, you guys don't know, can we talk yet or not? And I get it, because when I guest on other people's podcasts, I'm always like, I'm going to wait until they say my name.
Mm.
So anyway, I'm sitting here with the lovely and delightful Ann Lane.
Hi.
And Joseph Scrimshaw. Hello.
Hey, you said my name, so I'm going to speak.
I did. Yes, exactly. Now I've introduced you. I've created you.
Now I exist in
the world of
land.
The podcast
You've
land.
You've conjured us.
Yes, exactly. Well, you exist. You have a great show called Obsessed.
Yeah.
So it's also on Feral Network. How long have you been doing? Have you been doing that?
Oh, an unspeakably long time. It
That's
feels
right.
like. Yeah, I've been doing it
for
about 4 years.
Because we met at the party.
Years.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. We met at the Feral Audio party.
Oh, cool.
Sorry, Ann, we go to parties.
No.
Not to make you feel weird, but we...
No, I'm not jealous of going to parties.
It was really fun. There was a haunted house.
Okay, I'm jealous.
There was a smoke machine.
There was a smoke machine. And I was like really stoned. Like we had gotten, I was with a friend who like got us really high before. So I went into the party and I was like, after about 10 minutes, I was like, I've met everybody I need to talk to. And I feel like I've been very weird. Of course, you're not, I don't think, but like you think you're being weird when you're not, you know, it's the opposite of when you're drunk and you're like, I'm fine. I'm great.
Everyone's on the same page.
Yeah. I felt stoned just because there was so much smoke from the fog machine.
Oh, I thought you would say from your breath, Drew. There was that. But there was a really lame haunted house that I loved that's terrified me.
I
at
love
the same
haunted
time.
Houses that
I
are
love
lame.
Them.
It was
I
great.
Love all of them.
So anyway, I'm sorry. So you've been doing Obsessed for 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. So I started doing it in Minneapolis, where I am originally from. And then when I moved to Los Angeles, I ended up meeting Dustin and getting on Feral.
That's so awesome. And it's each episode, and it's about someone's just obsession, like whatever cool. they're what they're into. What was the you posted a new one about someone who
I'm trying to remember. I always forget what the most recent one is. The one I released today is with my wife, actually, talking about Gilmore Girls.
Oh, great. Aww. That's what I saw. I saw it every day today.
Yeah.
I know that was your wife. That's so awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Every once in a while, it's just like, I could get a guest. Or, hey, my wife lives here.
My wife. Oh, that's perfect.
She's obsessed with things,
and
too.
Has Gilmore Girls officially dropped?
No, the revival drops on Friday.
Okay,
Black
great.
Friday.
And so we do these in advance, so this will be, definitely watch Gilmore Girls, starring the lovely and incredible Lauren Graham and cool. Alexis Bledel, and our former guest Sam Pancake just did a long stint on the show season. And so, yeah.
Cool.
So I'm excited to see it. So each episode is in a different season.
Yeah, of the year.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's great.
Really cool.
That's awesome. So if you were, not to hijack your podcast totally, what if I just did that? What if I was like, so Ann, what are you obsessed with? I'll tell you what I'm obsessed with. Goodbye.
Okay. Great.
And then you just copied my show and made it your own.
Yeah.
I wonder like what you, because I feel like I honestly would talk about John Waters. Have you had anybody on there to talk about John Waters?
I know. I'd love to talk about John Waters.
I would love to come on your show and talk about John Waters. Let's earmark that.
Because awesome.
I think that I just saw him talk and on Stephen Colbert last night about the election, and it actually made me feel better. And I'm a lifelong love of that man. And
yeah. Has anyone talked about Marburg virus?
No, you know, that doesn't come up as often as like
what
Star
is
Trek.
That?
Okay.
What is that?
It's a hemorrhagic fever that originated in Marburg, Germany as a result of an infected monkey. There was an outbreak of
I was
of
sold
Marburg
that infected monkey.
100%.
Yeah. So it's hemorrhagic. It's sort of like Ebola, but a little bit, I think just as virulent as the Zaire strain of Ebola.
Wow.
So pretty horrible. But then the USSR's, I can, get into it.
Please, I'm fascinated by it.
Ken Allaback. It's a whole thing.
So it's you're saying that like government has control over it.
I'm saying, well, the Russians have a variant of it, have a strain of it that they have processed through human system of one of their scientists because he accidentally pricked himself with a syringe while injecting it into a guinea pig.
Uh-huh.
And then he documented his final days while he was in isolation, dying of this hemorrhagic fever. And then after he died, they took his blood and have saved it.
Got it.
According to a defector from the 80s.
Wow.
Man, everything's Russia these days.
Everything
Russia's
is Russia.
Such
80s,
a comeback.
The 80s are back. All we need is like Dolph Lundgren. And, you know, I mean, yeah. It's crazy how that's like back in our lives. That's, you know, Russia is here. That's so crazy. But it's also not unlike AIDS, too. It sounds like, I mean, with the monkeys and the... Because I don't believe that there's just some random monkey in Africa that just one day woke up with AIDS. Like, come on, everybody. People were down there trying shit out. They were testing. They had to be. And, yeah, that's fascinating.
They had to be.
Like, you don't just... All of a sudden, there's some monkey that in, like, 1979 or whatever, it's like, oh, by the way, I have this thing in me, all of it, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Let me bite this one guy, you know, come
right.
on.
If we had Twitter at the time, somebody would have been tweeting some weird shit going on with some monkeys, and we would have known.
Exactly. Yeah. We would have, you know, it would have been a totally different world.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's... I would
that's
love that.
It's a very
that.
Cool podcast.
I love that.
Oh, yeah, that's a great obsession.
Oh,
yeah, it really is.
I feel like a real epidemiologist or some actual scientist would listen to me and be like, what a fucking idiot.
But the rest of us would be like, Anne Lane.
Oh my God, she's so smart.
You're a comedian and yeah. You're groundling. And you're
I should know this.
You're the only person at the groundlings that would know about this. And so therefore, I'd want to hear, and you would make it interesting and hilarious.
Oh my God.
It's
a nightmare, but it's fun to read about.
That's, beyond.
Do you force it into scenes at the groundlings?
I force it into like parties. I've had times where I'll be like with someone. This is monstrous.
Please, that's
with
why we're
someone.
Here.
In
the biblical way.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
But not
sure.
Like during, like before, and it'll be like a moment where someone else wants. I'm saying like very general terms because I'm. This is more about me than other people that I'm describing. I will say like I'm with someone and they like want to. This is clearly about a specific situation I'm terrified to talk about, and
please.
They clearly want to like. Have like a fun, sexy time, and I uh-huh. just want to talk about Marburg. Like, it's all
oh
I want to do.
Well, that is, there's certain, you know, I love it. It's like, that's your, in Death Becomes Her, like your Madeline Ashton. Like, you can't not talk about that at all times.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Death Becomes Her?
No.
Have you seen it, Joseph?
Not
oh
in years.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You guys, it's so good. It's so perfectly wonderful. And basically, Meryl Streep's character ruins Goldie Hawn's character's life. And so Goldie Hawn is obsessed with Meryl Streep and like bringing her down. And so she goes all the way to group therapy and she can't not talk about Madeline Ashton. And it's the greatest thing ever. Then, of course, they become friends and then they like, you know, drink this undead potion.
Good.
And it's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, I need to watch it.
It really is. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful wonderful movie.
Yeah.
And pretty perfect. But I also love that there's certain things that people have to keep bringing up. I mean,
yeah.
my friend Sona, who actually has taught me a great deal of all 8 million things, but Sona's Armenian, and we went to college in North Carolina together and talked to us about the Armenian genocide. And we didn't know anything about
yeah.
it. You don't. You don't grow up with Armenians and Armenian history and
yeah.
So I'm insanely thankful that I know about it and it's something that I try to, you know, inform people about because there's still people that don't even understand what happened. And
mm-hmm.
But she would only do it when we were high out of our brains in college. And so it would be like this, at the peak of our, she would bring out these giant books and would just tell us these revolting, horrifying stories. And it was like her favorite thing to do. It was like when she would get stoned, I need to teach these Odars, means other, like non-Armenians. Like, I need to teach them about, and I'm like, can't we just like listen to Tori Amos and lay on the floor?
Tori Amos!
you know, regular college students in the 90s.
I like the picture that's emerging, though, from both of you guys' examples, that in order to do something fun, like get stoned or have sex, first you need to hear about tragedy.
Yes.
So you can be appreciative and thoughtful.
Yes.
Then get high and laid.
I love that, what that instinct is. Like, what that is.
I think it's like an equalizing instinct of, like, here's something I carry with me. Will you carry it a little bit for a second? will you think about this? Can I watch you think about this? Okay, cool. Now we can connect.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Well, I want to hear some stories from you guys. And who wants to go first?
I can.
All right. Great. I love it.
I'm so nervous.
And again, I am too. I have no idea. I have no idea what to expect. I'm loving it.
Yeah. This is such a fun challenge because I talk about myself constantly.
Yes.
I love it. Yeah, same here. And that's why I wanted to do this, because I was like, I want to put us in an uncomfortable place and be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yes. I love this concept of this podcast too, because I do. A lot of my stand up is very storytelling based. So some of like the truly outrageous things that have happened to me are that kind of thing where, once I start talking about them, then I know the little jokes in my head, and like it's such a great concept to get people out of that bubble.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So this is a thing that I realize I've never talked about, which is weird because it's not that deep or scary. But when I was younger and single, I was living alone, and I'm a big Star Wars fan. And I was
and
watching.
Were you in Minneapolis?
I was in Minneapolis at the time.
Great.
A little efficiency apartment or studio apartment, and I was watching Star Wars, and it was late at night. I would just eat frozen pizza in front of the television and watch Star Wars.
Yep.
It was on a VHS. Savage. Horribly savage.
And you would watch A New Hope? Or all three?
I was watching A New Hope, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And it's unfortunately the 1997 special edition, because that's what was available.
The garbage where he ruined it, when he went back and ruined it?
Yeah, there's some real bad things in it.
Yeah.
But I'd gotten past those. I was in the trench run at the end.
Okay, great.
And I was just wrapping up my frozen pizza and my beer, and it's like 2 a.m. and I'm pretty much ready to go to bed.
Yep.
Think about Star Wars as I drift off to sleep. And there's a knock on the door, and somebody says, hey, and it's like the classic, like, if you were making a PSA about a drunk or stoned person knocking on your door.
Right,
it's exactly what this person sounds like.
I love you just said, hey.
So
did he hick?
Yes, there was a hick, and a little bubble came through the door like a cartoon. So I paused Star Wars, and he's like, you're watching Star Wars.
Oh, my God.
I was like, yeah? He's like, let me come in and watch Star Wars. So I just ignored it for a minute. And then there was that really awkward social contract of like, we're having an interaction, but the door is locked.
So this was someone you didn't know at all.
This was just a stranger.
No, just somebody walking down. And I was at the end of the hallway, so there's no way that somebody could be passing by. Because like my neighbors were home.
You were in a building, like you were in a giant like apartment building?
Yeah, like big H-shaped apartment building. Uh-huh. And I was on at the bottom of an H. So like no way that he could just be on his way to the next thing.
Right.
Like, so somebody who's
in the building.
I used to
live at one of those two, when I first went to LA, I was in the very back of a building right next to the laundry room. And yet you had to walk all the way back to get to my place. You're not, unless you're going to do laundry. Like that's the only way you would, you know, go past my place.
Right. So you know that it's not somebody just wandering by.
Sure.
So it was clearly somebody wandering around because they didn't know me.
Uh-huh.
But he just kept asking to come in and watch Star Wars. And like, I knew this was bad. I'm normally worried about safety and security.
Sure.
But there was just that. He touched something human in me that I was a monster for not letting this guy in to watch Star Wars.
Sure.
So I let him in, and which I kind of couldn't believe I was doing at the time, but it was like the epitome of the sort of Minnesota nice. Like, I don't want to be rude to the drunk, high stranger who wants to come into my apartment at 2 a.m.
Meanwhile, he has no problem barging in and insinuating himself in your life.
But I would be the rude one if I didn't
unlock.
Yes,
you would be quite rude to say.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just a piece of shit. So so I let him in, and he sat down, and I just unpaused it.
Oh, my God.
And the movie's very close to the end, so I figure, like, well, we'll get to the end, and he'll just leave. And he whipped out a big joint and is like, let's smoke, man. And I don't have anything against marijuana at all. I've never been into it myself, partially just because it takes away from my alcohol drinking time.
Sure.
But, you know, at the time, it's not around Minneapolis is like a normal thing where you can just kind of, you know, get away with it. Like,
sure.
Super sensitive smoke detectors in the apartment building that go off.
Also, this was quite a while ago,
yeah.
Right? So the world was a different place about their reaction to marijuana. Like,
yeah.
We're very different now. But
Yeah. Like, yeah, in L.A., you know, you just like, if somebody isn't smoking marijuana, you're like, are you okay? What's wrong with you?
I know, exactly.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh, no, you can't do that in here. And he's like, oh, man, I think I can.
I think I can.
Oh,
so,
man,
I love this guy.
I think I can.
I love him.
I like him a lot. Oh. I think he's a pretty cool guy. I don't know where the story's going.
Ann and I are obviously huge stoners. I mean, if you can't tell, I've brought it up 4 times already. But okay,
I mean, keep going. My default voice is a stoner.
Oh, yes, I get it.
Yeah,
okay.
it's the unique voice of sort of a relaxed yet belligerent at the same time.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Everything's cool and I'm always right.
Yeah, I'm like a really casual asshole.
Yeah. Yes. I'm talking in a higher octave because I'm stressed out, but I'm talking slower because I'm trying not to be.
If I could punch you slowly, I would.
Sorry.
Yeah, so he was real belligerent about it. He was going to light up, and I was like, oh, I really, it'd be just fine with me, but you know, the smoke detector is really sensitive, so like, I actually started litigating it with him.
Oh.
And he's like, it's not that sensitive.
What? Like, he knows it?
Well, then I was like, no, because then I asked him, like, do you live in the building? He's like, no.
What?
Oh my God. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I have no idea where he had come from, how he ended up in the building to begin with.
In your defense, he probably didn't either.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he did either.
So did he light up the joint?
No. So we squabbled about the logistics of whether or not it would work out for him to light up the joint.
Meanwhile, Star Wars is still going. Star Wars doesn't care. It keeps going and leaves you behind.
Yeah, and it's getting real close to the end.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's just Luke and
so super
Wedge
action
left,
packed. It's all the lasers and flying through all the white. I've seen Star Wars.
Have you seen Star Wars?
Oh, 4,000 times. Like, of course, it was the first movie I saw in the theater as a child.
Oh my gosh!
I saw it in because I was born the year that it came out, but I saw it in the theater when I was three in 1980, just before Empire Strikes Back came out. They re-released it. Back before VHS, that's how they would do it. So that was the first. So my parents took me to see that when I was three, is the first movie I saw.
Oh,
and then
we
went and saw Empire Strikes Back. Yeah.
That's so sweet.
And I've grown up with it forever, and I still don't even know exactly what happens. A friend of mine Scott Beener actually had a 40th birthday party.
Uh-huh.
And he had a surprise party, and then we all watched Star Wars.
Aww.
So I watched it recently, and still I don't.
You don't remember?
Well, they're fighting, and it's they're flying in and all the, they're like the, oh my God, here comes
this makes me
gay
so happy.
Stoner talking about Star Wars. They're flying over all the white walls, and there's lasers, and Leia's like, what's happening? R2-D2's not having it, honey.
Can you please release just an audio track of you narrating Star Wars as
please.
It goes, and then I can just
it's
watch
like
Star Wars on mute with you.
Have you guys heard Jonathan Van Ness, seen on his show Gay of Thrones?
No.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah?
And he just recaps Game of Thrones every week
while
he cuts someone's hair. Which came out organically because he is a hairdresser, and he is my hairdresser, and he's amazing. And he is one of the naturally funniest people ever. And he just recaps Game of Thrones.
Holy shit.
From his point of view, and it's
with
way more interesting.
A bloody, violent show while he has scissors that he's actively using on another human's head.
Yes, exactly.
It's terrifying.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
But every character is named like Baby Tilda Swinton or, you know, Creepy Eyes or whatever. Like, there's no, like, you have to really kind of watch the full episode of Game of Thrones and then watch his recap and then kind of get it.
I love that.
Anyway, so I'm sorry to cut you off. So then what happened after that?
You're nailing Star Wars, by the way. That's exactly what's happening.
Right. Okay, great.
They're flying down the White Wall Tunnel and Leia is very concerned. And Luke turns off his targeting computer
because
Obi-Wan Kenobi has told him to use the Force.
Yes, use the Force, right. I remember that.
To get his proton torpedoes into
that
star shaft.
Yep.
So it's right around there where this, you know, ghostly voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi is saying, you know, let it go, trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen to Obi-Wan. It's like, I should have trusted myself. This was a bad idea.
to not let him in.
Yeah, I should have not.
As opposed to letting him light the joint.
No. I think Obi-Wan Kenobi, while he says let it go, and it sounds very calm and peaceful, I think he would have been like, Joseph, like, don't let him smoke a joint.
Idea.
Yeah. This is a bad idea.
It's a very bad idea. Because, you know, that can go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Were you the next day, like, freaking out, like, oh my God, what could have happened?
Yeah, so to wrap it up, I...
Oh, no, no. No. I thought it was, okay.
I told him, all right, you have to go now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's time to go. And he's like, man, that sucks. That's a bummer. And I was sort of like, yeah, I know. But like, I was right at that moment where it's like, oh, do I have to be physical? I'm not a physical person.
Right.
And then I had that moment of, how did this happen? Well, because you let a fucking stranger into your home for no reason.
You invited a vampire into your house. So.
That's how all vampires should try to get in.
You know, they have to be invited in. In most vampire lore, you would know this, Anne. Mm-hmm. They have to be invited in in order to come in and suck your
in
net.
That's right. Old vampire lore, you can confuse them by putting a whole bunch of, I think it's either marbles or needles or like hay or something, like scatter it around or sand maybe scattered around.
Now
your
I know
house.
What to do with all my needles.
And then the
scatter
vampire,
them at my door.
They like apparently have like kind of like a compulsive need to organize. I think this is like an old, and they will like count it all.
Old like, vampires this are is like a, real OCD?
They're really persnickety. This is like a very, very old, and they're also very vain. So if you put a mirror somewhere, they will just look at themselves.
That's why they can't see themselves anymore. Because they would just stand there admiring themselves.
Yeah, I don't remember what culture this is from, but I feel like I read that on the internet, so I had to say it right now. Mm-hmm, must be true.
Yeah,
so you let a vampire in.
I did. I let a vampire in, and then I had to tell the vampire, I'm sorry, I've made a terrible decision. It's time to go. And he bitched and he complained, but he went. He shuffled out. Uh-huh. And called, you know, as I shut the door and locked it, it was like, man, you jerk, man. You just want to watch Star Wars.
Oh.
So, yeah, so I was cut to the quick that, you know, Star Wars should be, you know, a brotherhood and a sisterhood anybody
a
wants to come in and watch
experience.
Star Wars. But,
right.
Yeah, but he abused his Star Wars watching privileges.
Absolutely. And how weird that just happened. You know, you think about, like, when you're, like, looking back at your life, hopefully in many, many, many years, and you're looking back going, why did that moment occur to me, for me, or for him?
Yeah.
Maybe it like kept him from some horrible thing happening. Or
yeah, maybe he was going to wander into traffic.
You never know. But it's
hit
like
by a car.
It's so weird to think like what that was about, like, or why the universe was like, this is a thing that needs to happen. A random guy needs to go into another guy's apartment and watch Star Wars for 5 minutes, try to light a joint, and then have to leave. Like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, that's so strange. Yet, like, you're like, yep, there's
that's
some...
That's why humans fascinate on the idea of like a controlled universe where there's no like inertia. It's not chaos. Every little thing has a reason, but that's not.
Yeah.
I don't subscribe to that.
Well,
I love
chaos
it.
Too. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of am. I guess I straddle between the two because I love the idea that there's some great plan at work.
Yeah.
That sort of does comfort me in some weird level. But also I love random shit, and it's my sense of humor is random, and I don't like. It's why I don't like jokes. Like I don't like, but bump. I hate puns. I hate. Mm-hmm. I hate things that make too much sense.
Yeah,
because then I'm like, oh, I see what you did there.
Right.
I get it.
I think like
you know, I like chaos way more. I like you know, just the scattershot, messy, like you know, what the fuck is happening?
Right.
Kind of stuff.
It's probably what draws you to like improv. Is just like you enjoy that you're playing with other. Like there's a lack of control when you. Put other people's minds in a spontaneous position and then
completely.
You add on to it.
And it's so, and it is like really messy and we don't come to a conclusion. We don't come to an ending. We don't look back and go,
but if we treat everything like it was for a purpose, then it starts to seem like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, that makes sense because this moment in my life is probably the closest thing that I can think of right now of like, that's an improv scene. That really does feel like an improv scene where it's just like, it's about the length of a good improv scene. It's about wacky enough for an improv scene.
Exactly. And then nobody gets like, you know, horribly violently maimed or you know, right. anything. And you know, if it's two dudes, they're very likely to eventually talk about Star Wars.
Or, you know, in so an improv scene,
two guys together, they love to just reference back and forth and they get real, you know. When I teach, I'm always like, I scream at two guys to go on stage together. I'm like, quit being two dudes. I don't care about these dudes. They're just talking. They don't care. Yeah. I don't care.
Right.
Yes.
Get out of casual dudes land.
Casual dude land.
What are your feelings, dudes? For God's sake.
I want you to cry and open up to me. Wow. I want you to hurt.
Care about stuff.
Yeah. But there are also like crazy stories that are like horrifying. A friend of mine, I don't know if I've ever told this before.
Oh.
But this is a friend of mine's story, and he told this when we went to college together. In the 80s in Florida, and maybe your bells are already ringing, Anne, if you know who I'm talking about. But she got a single woman, his aunt, a knock at her door, and a guy at the back door said he had gotten into an accident, like a car accident, and wanted to use the phone. And she just had this weird feeling, like, and this was... I mean, 80, so, I mean, of course, we were living under Reagan, and so we were scared of everything, and, you know, of course. But also, like, you know, small town Florida, like, she was like, normally she probably would have let this guy in, and he was a really nice-looking guy and very nice and just needed to use the phone, and she just had a weird feeling.
Yeah.
And she just said, I had a very strange feeling that said, don't let him in. And he kind of kept begging and being like, oh, come on, I just need to use the phone. And she said, I'm so sorry, you have to go somewhere else. And so... she wouldn't let him in. And years later, she was watching the news, and it was Ted Bundy.
Oh!
What?
No way.
That was at her doorstep.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be that,
yeah,
too.
No, I could, yeah. I mean, that's the thing that haunts me about the story is it's not like me. I grew up in a relatively rough neighborhood.
Right.
I'm safety-minded, and... You know, speaking about like the is the universe ordered? Can you control your destiny? If I had been stabbed in the neck, it would have just been my fault.
Yes,
for just
exactly.
doing something real, real dumb.
But haven't we all done things that we're like, why did I do? Of course, that's just the thing.
Gosh.
We've all done these things that we go, why did I brought that on myself?
Yeah.
Anything bad happen?
Well, we're taught to be. I mean, this is something on. I listen as well to a podcast about true crime and murders and stuff. And they talk about
what
how,
is it?
It's called My Favorite Murderer.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, it's amazing.
It's so
great. Karen Kilgariff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, I love her.
But they talk a lot about like fuck politeness and it's like politeness and the way that we are conditioned. Like, I mean, as humans, but then especially when you're a woman, like you're raised to be like, just really don't provoke. And then if someone like wants something, it's provoking to not give them that, like on even a small level.
Yeah.
In terms of a smile or a gesture
or
giving them a piece of information or whatever. So, like, at some level, you just have to be like, fuck politeness. This is where Star Wars is not the connecting thing. That is, I shouldn't open my door so that someone has a chance to see Star Wars right this second.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my God.
But it's hard to get to that point.
Yeah. I think it is. It's this weird thing where I think if somebody wants to look at the world with empathy and with kindness, that people can conflate that to being polite.
Yes.
And that is a good lesson for me to try to learn the difference between being kind and like, I want to be nice to people.
Right. Yes.
That's different than being polite.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm starting
so
to,
we should be more Toronto to people than Atlanta. Do you know what I mean? Like in the South, everyone's just way too nice and like, hey, come on in, sit down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Versus like in Toronto, you're like, they're very polite. They're very cordial, but they're not, I mean, they're not really like warm and friendly.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're very, very Canadian and very polite.
Yeah. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like you never get rudeness there, but you don't really feel like, oh, I, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could have wished him
Canada.
The best, and I could have said, you know what? Let's just talk about Star Wars through the door for a little while.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're feeling lonely,
right.
But I'm not letting you into my apartment.
Nope. And I don't have to make up a lie. I don't have to have any excuse. I'm not.
It's a constant dialogue in my head of like, where is that line?
Yeah.
Like, the other day I was leaving an audition, and this guy followed me and was like, I want to enter your ass. And I was like, okay, wow. Jesus Christ. And I just kept walking. He had some sort of issues going on. I think he'd been around that corner. It wasn't like he was, whatever. But he followed me in my car. So I got in my car and then he shuffled back. And then I saw him following another woman who's leaving an audition to go to her car, saying like gross things to her. And so I like drove next to them and was like, fuck it. You know what? Fuck politeness here. And just like rolled down my window. It was like, stop it, dude. Like, fuck you. Like, you need to, what are you doing right now?
Good for you. Well, it's so amazing to me every time. It never ceases to amaze me when I'm with a woman and they get violently catcalled in some way like that. And women are so used to it.
Yes.
It makes me so sad.
It's so jaded.
And women are so like, well, yeah, that's what happens. And I'm like, really?
Yes.
Like, no one has ever come up to me and said, I want to enter your ass. Mm-hmm. Sadly.
yeah.
But I mean, like,
if someone said that to me really politely,
I would be like,
that would be nice.
Thank you.
If it was really polite.
Very sweet.
Yeah.
Speaking of politeness,
yeah.
For me, since I don't have to experience that, like women do.
Right. Yeah.
But it's about so much more than that. I mean, it's like, it's really not, I mean, it's obviously not a compliment. It's not meant to be like, you know, you look great and I'd like to respect you and take you out and show you a good time. It's just like, I'd like to be violent on top of you and inside you.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, and also it's just people, they, oh God, I don't even know. I can't even say people. It's just awful. And just like, and the permission now that men have to say these things to women is just, it's insane.
Well, I called the cops on him and the lady was taking the report. Like, I've never called the cops on anyone before, but this was like the final straw of the day. I had just been in an audition where the guy who was running it was like it was a room full of women and he, like a friend of mine had called and been like, this guy's a real asshole. And then I went in and he was like, why aren't you smiling? You're much bubblier usually. Like, legitimately was like that. And then I was leaving.
Yeah,
and
you may as
happened.
Well say, I want to enter your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
I
was like,
the same thing,
I would rather be able to call the cops on that type of innocuous bullshit than like,
than some
than
awful
have to be like,
mind game, manipulative. I'm in a power position.
Yeah.
Why aren't you smiling?
Why aren't, you're not impressed. You don't seem impressed. Whatever. It was just really gross. But yeah. So
I'm not. I'm at a fucking job interview.
Yeah. But so when I called the lady, she was like, the lady. When I called 911, the lady was like, just so like relaxed. Like, she gets this call all day. She's like, okay, where is he? Yeah. And what was he wearing? Oh, wow. That's an outfit. Like, very like.
Yeah.
She's just like, just another dude.
Yep.
Just another day.
Yep.
Did they send someone? Do you know?
Yeah. I had to go. But I think they were just like, yeah, we'll cruise around. That's fine.
Yeah, and let's see. Ugh.
Yeah, sorry. I just really, really bummed out the room.
Yeah, you really did.
I really
Do you
bummed
mind?
Out the room.
Oh, man.
That wasn't even my thing.
I don't want to hear this, like,
whatever my
woman
thing is.
Complaining about men. I'm bored.
I know. I'm so sorry, you guys.
I refuse to talk about Star Wars in this moment. I will not talk about it for once.
Good.
Respect the moment.
Boundaries.
Not bring up Star Wars.
I love it. So, Anne, what's your story? Tell
me. You know, I wish it was more of a, like, beginning, middle, and end story, but it's
me
more
too.
Of,
could you prepare, please?
Oh man, I agonized over this because I don't have any shame. Like I do. I have a lot of shame, but I have wrong shame. Like I tell everyone the gross things that happened to me as immediately as possible. So like,
could you please do a show called Wrong Shame?
Wrong Shame. Yes,
that's so good.
And it's just like, it opens with me doing TMI,
uh-huh.
and then later I like admit something that feels vulnerable, and it's just that. I'm a human. Like, it's just like, guys, I'm really sorry, but I'm a human. I know you wish I was spiders, but I'm a human.
I wish you were spiders.
I wish I was spiders, too.
Another good title for your show.
I wish I was spiders, too. But, like, no, like, last week I was dog sitting. This isn't even the story, but, like, this is just an example of, like, wrong shame. The dog was, like, crunching something in the yard, and I, like, took it out of his mouth, like, threw it away. Like, she, like, went and found it again, was crunching it again, and then I, like took it out again and looked at it under my cell phone's light, and it was part of a rat's face, and I just immediately texted everyone I knew. It was like, I feel so alive. This was crazy. This was disgusting.
Did you attach a picture? God.
Yes, of course I did. I will show you this picture. I will show anyone this picture. DM me on Twitter, baby. But so thinking about what story to tell was really hard, because I was like, I've told everyone about when I sharted. I've told everyone about like when I did like despicable, mean things as a baby, as a child, like kid things, not despicable real things.
If you did things as an actual infant, that would be pretty cool.
I love it. I imagine you with like a cigar.
Feed him to the fishes.
Exactly. I shit on a cat's face on purpose when I was 6 months old.
But no one can blame me. But so I just thought about this like weird thing that I did in college that I've never told. I've mentioned in passing to a friend somewhat recently, but this wasn't the story of the night. So this is like, I'm a garbage person.
I love you.
So I love you too. Uh-huh. So in college, okay, this is one of those things where when you learn more about yourself, you're like, oh, I was behaving that way because of this. And now that I'm in my late 20s, I know that this is what I do in this circumstance. Mm-hmm. If I have a crush on someone, I want to know about their music taste. Like, that's number one. I want to know about it. I want to listen to all their music. I want to, like, talk about music. Like, music is, like, a big thing.
Sure.
But so I didn't know this about myself yet in college because you haven't established life patterns yet. You haven't like, you're just like, oh my God, this one time I want to do this, right?
Exactly.
You're just like, oh, weird. True. This one time I feel like I need to, oh my God, it's all so real and pure and it's the first ever. So I have this crush on someone and I don't even know I have a crush on them. And this is at the time when people still put all their music interests on Facebook, like all the things they listen to. Like, you know, when you would list all of, I don't know if it's like the age of being from high school into college or if it was like, just the year it was, we weren't too ironic to just say what we like back then. So I looked at what this person's music interests were and made myself like a mix CD as though it was from them. To be clear, I don't know this person very well. Like,
oh,
wow.
So these were real things that the person likes.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was just like, so I was just like, I want to get to know this person. I want to know what this person like.
Was it music you already knew? You didn't make yourself a mixtape of music you already owned?
No, it was all like music. I was like, you know what? I'm going to seem hip. I'm going to know this music. Like, it's a really like little child thing to do. I'm just like, I'm gonna like what you like.
Oh my God. And I love that. I love that you went to the links to get the out here to download them, or could you do that then?
I think I had iTunes'd it.
Okay. Yeah,
I think
okay.
I like spent the money.
Uh huh.
On
sure.
On it. I don't.
And just got and then made it mix. And then how was the music?
It was good actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you discovered new music.
I discovered new music, and I have never told this person about this. And
wow.
The reason that I never realized it was a crush, I think, was just that like, it took so long to unpack like. Like, because this person is a girl, and it took so long to unpack. Like, oh,
I noticed
notice the pronouns.
You were playing the pronoun game.
I was playing the pronoun game.
Yeah.
I was playing. It's funny. It's like an improv game. You play a fear. It's like you can't say the word she. You got to say this person because otherwise it means talking about bisexuality.
Exactly. Right.
Which is, you know. It's fine. It's not like I feel like in a previous episode of your podcast, someone was like, "Everyone's bisexual and we're all African."
Yeah,
and that
Jackie
made me
B.
Like, yeah, great.
Yeah, that's Jackie.
It's not like earth shattering.
Exactly.
It's not.
Was this the first? Was it the first girl that you had a crush on?
I think this is the first time that I've been able to be like, "Here's an action I took on." having a crush.
Sure. Did it work in terms of feeling like you were getting closer to her, even though you didn't maybe weren't aware that you wanted to be closer to her?
I don't think it made me feel closer to her. I feel like it made me feel like I had more of a context for her. I don't know. Do I sound like a serial killer?
No.
nothing like Ted Bundy.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It was more of a like, just like, I wonder, like, I think I always admired that she was the type of person, she felt like someone who gave herself permission to like be a part of the universe in a way that I don't think I at the time felt that I could.
Because she unironically talked about what she liked.
Sort of. And then also just was like such a like open and like also was just one of those people that like just like would be like messy and like you could see them when they were emotional. Like just like one of those people that actually like lives where they are. And like,
well, I think so much of that. I mean, I totally understand that because so much of my college experience, and I've talked to a lot of college friends about back in the day where we really, we lived in fear, but we didn't, we covered it up with irony and with making fun of everything, and how we would, if like in college, you were like, what music did you, do you like?
Yeah.
And I probably would have been like, I like Hanson, and which I kind of actually do, spoiler alert. But I, in college, I would have made fun of that. So I would have put all stuff to make people laugh.
Yes.
You know, because yes, I was like, too. If I would just, I'm going to fill this up with stupid shit so that you're never really going to get to know me.
In high Hootie school, I had like
Hootie and the Blowfish, exact perfect example. Yes. And so that would be like, people would be like, does he really? Or he doesn't? You'll never know.
Right.
You'll never know me. Run, run the other way. Fart. Bye.
I can't and feel like, disapproval if I know you don't know who I am.
Absolutely. Period.
And so wrapped in an enigma.
And that's so much of being young and like being afraid.
Yeah.
Of like, and I remember like, everyone in our theater department was gay, but only two people were out. And we were, I remember the rest of us would...
In college?
In college.
Whoa.
And we all were like hooking. It didn't matter. Like, it wasn't like we were that deep in the closet, but we were like, we all had each other to kind of be like, ugh, the two like out gay guys, they have issues. Like,
because,
like,
no.
What issue? They, oh my God. And
oh,
we're
no.
like, we look back and we go, no, they were heroes. They actually were like brave. And the rest of us weren't, you know? And so it's like you, but you live through that experience. So I totally understand being attracted to someone who's, who also talks about what they like.
Yes.
Because, and I've talked about this before too on the show, is that like, it's so much easier and it makes you sound smarter to shit on something and say, this is what I hate and this is like no good and not for me. But to really say, I love this unironically and I, and, without any sort of fear of being judged, I love,
like,
fill in the blank. And it's like, that takes a lot of maturity and knowing yourself and not being afraid to do that. And so I totally understand. Now, are you still in touch with her?
I to this day have not communicated at all any of this.
That's awesome.
What are the odds that she listens to this podcast?
Like 0%.
Okay.
I mean, maybe. I would like to think so. She's really cool. We like live together, like with other girls, and then, but she's like, she's, I like went, oh man, this is scary. Like, what if she does?
Would she be able to know from what you've said so far?
Not yet.
Okay.
The other thing
so
too,
there could be like four or five women listening going, maybe it's me.
I hope it's me. What is it going to be?
What a player.
Have you seen Nashville? Nashville, which is my favorite movie of all time. Robert Altman movie, Nashville.
No.
It's amazing. And there's an incredible scene where Keith Carradine is singing his song, I'm Easy. He plays a country music star. The whole thing's in country music world. And every woman in that room thinks he's singing it to her. And yet he's having an affair with Lily Tomlin, who's married. And she's an older woman, and she's this not glamorous like all these other girls, and he's obsessed with her.
Wow.
And Lily Tomlin, it cuts over to her, and she knows it's about her, and the shame and the weirdness and the uncomfortable and yet excitement that she feels all communicated on her face. It's so good.
That is a lot.
But also, I just have to point out, you've said nothing bad other than a lovely thing. And anybody that would hear this would only be flattered unless they are a garbage person. Do you know what I mean? It feels so dangerous to be like, because like, God, I mean, I've sort of like gone back with friends in college and admitted like, I totally had a crush on you.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with you.
Right.
And they're like, I know.
I had like the most visible crush on this one guy in college that like, we have since talked about it. Like since I've been like, I was like Ginny Weasley books 1 through 3 with you. Like I was losing my shit whenever you were in a room.
Yeah. And that is only... That's only lovely. Like, it's not like, I mean, we go back to that time of like, oh God, they can never know. And oh, how weird it is. But it's like, we're adults now and we go back and say, I was so into you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you still are. It doesn't mean, and even if like, it can only be flattering.
Right.
It can only be like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, sorry.
No, you go.
Can I ask you about why you are hesitant to share? Does it seem, is it that you felt like you tried to make this connection with this person without actually telling them about it?
In complete transparency, I'm nervous about sharing in general a lot because I just got out of a couple months ago, I got out of a relationship, and then I just feel like sensitivity during that time is really scary, you know, that thing of like, if someone were to like listen and be like, in a negative space, and then I don't know. This is all a nightmare.
Oh my god! No, I totally understand that.
I never want to hurt anyone, and then if any of my actions can be construed as evil or malicious, it's terrifying.
Oh my god! How dare you like someone and then make a tape based on the music that they like?
I'm offended that you gave money to iTunes. That much money to iTunes.
That is fair.
This man invited murderers into his house, drug addicts.
And here I am, flaunting that I'm kind of a human. Oh no.
There you are, thinking you're all that with your Facebook account.
This is like what I mean when I say, like, yeah, maybe my podcast would be oversharing for the first part, and then the last part would be like, I think I'm a monster for all the shit I just said.
Oh my god, I love it.
Guys, I really, here's what I think for the next week. I'm going to lock my doors. I'm going to check email when it's daylight, and...
But you have to know, it's like, there's so much stuff that we turn on ourselves and we say, how dare you have that human thought?
Yeah.
We have so much shame.
Yeah.
About things that there's absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
It's so funny to try to unteach yourself shame, because shame, I mean, I've listened to a good amount of Brené Brown. Mm. Daring Greatly is a wonderful book, and it talks about how, like, the only way to, like, confront shame, I might be misquoting her, what I got from the book was that, like, to confront shame, you air it in a safe way, in a way where you trust the people you air it to.
Uh-huh.
But, like, it's, like, allowing... Like, shame says to hide something, and it keeps you from looking at it, you know? Does this all make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and also it's like, what I love about doing this is like, when people come on and they reveal something that they're so ashamed of, or they feel so weird about, the other guest and I are both like, okay, cool.
Right.
And what, you know, and even when it's something like huge, we're like, wow, that's fascinating. But we're... You know, we have these things that we live with for so long. And I get it, too. Like, you're like, I need to protect myself. Uh-huh. And I don't want to unpack too much. And then I don't want this person to contact me and be weird about it or hurt me more.
Right.
Open, you know.
Or, like, feel like...
There's no way they can listen to this and think you're evil or that you've done anything wrong.
I don't know, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is... I don't know.
And then I would say, you know, yeah, that's maybe one time I would ever say, you know... Lay off the weed if you feel like
yes,
you're being crazy. Because that
for
that
sure.
For me, if I'm stoned, it's the worst.
Oh,
I will go
God.
Through it and go, I'm a horrible person. I can't believe I did blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
That's why they reacted the way they did. Or they haven't emailed me back in an hour. They're mad at me.
Right.
You know, whatever. And then I'm like, you're high.
Go to
sleep.
Everything's fine. The world continues no matter how you feel about it.
No one's thinking about you as much.
No.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, like, oh, wow, we all have this, like, narcissist in us that's, like... The world is constantly thinking about me all the time.
Right.
No, really not.
There's such, like, wonderful anonymity in realizing how many people there are and how every person is mostly thinking about themselves, like, including me. Like, we're all just, like, mirroring back our own perception at ourselves, at each other. But what can get through is, like, a tiny fraction of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is great to think of people not thinking about you up to a point. And then you're like, hey, wait. Think about me more.
At what point would they find my body?
No one's thinking about you. No one's looking for you.
It's all good, baby.
I know, baby. And I know when people, I've been so embarrassed to think when people have said, we were talking about you the other day, or we were thinking about you the other day, for me to go, why don't you think about me more? Like, that's news? And then I'm like, Drew, yes, they're not always thinking about you. You're always thinking about you. And, you know, but everyone takes every opportunity that they can, subconsciously, usually, to make it about themselves.
Yeah, because you have to survive.
Yeah, exactly. And you only know your own perspective. And so you're like, the only way you can help someone or be there for someone or listen or anything is to go, well, in my experience,
it's all a horrible experiment of the Heisenberg property. You know, that thing of like an object. This is, again, if a real scientist is listening, I'm sorry. But if
so many scientists listen to my show, so be careful.
At some level of particle physics.
In there with their monkeys listening.
syringes out, hoping not to stab themselves.
But at one level of particle physics, the act of looking at a particle changes its behavior.
Right.
And I feel like that's what being a human is like the act of reflecting your feelings towards others with others is the only thing that keeps us sane. Like if we have to find out what our behavior means in a context of our culture, our family, our friends. And if we start acting in a conflicting way to one of those things, then it like starts a cascade of like, well, why are you doing that? But it's also made up.
But also, it makes sense to me when you see homeless people muttering to themselves constantly because they don't have that, they don't have that connection with maybe anybody. And it's, I see that it's a conditional thing sometimes. And I'm like, oh, it's because you don't even know if you at a certain point, you're like, do I even exist anymore? Because no one's going to talk to me.
Yeah.
No one knows that, no one will interact and have any reaction to me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. What if I did blah, blah, blah? And I could see how that would easily turn. But also, like what you were saying, it's like, once we get observed, we change our behavior. I mean, that's reality TV. It's why it's never really real. It's like we're all like, we're a reflection of how other people react to us.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is when you see people having a conversation and like to me, they're such an eavesdropper because I so many people. I'm like, I love to be by myself and just like take notes and be like, who is that person? What are they about?
Mm-hmm.
But you hear you see people like within earshot and they're having a conversation and you know that they know that you're listening to me and they start performing for you.
Yes.
And subconsciously.
Yeah.
But they will have an argument and all of a sudden they open it up a little bit and they get a little bit bigger.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm a waitress
sometimes.
And it's
like, but honey, don't you think that blah, blah, blah. Well, I do, but here's why. And you see them like articulate a little bit clearer because they want their audience of one creepy solo man sitting near them, with the latte.
They should at least put a hat out at the end of like, give me some money for my performance.
Well, what'd you think?
Exactly.
What'd you think?
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So anyway, on that note, I think we're out of time.
Cool.
Thank you both so much for doing this. This was so great.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
I loved it.
Yeah. It's nice to meet you. And
nice to meet you as well.
Learn about my politeness barriers.
Okay, I think we both have politeness barriers.
I think we all do.
We both. Literally what I just said. I think we both, meaning you both, meaning I don't, clearly have politeness barriers. At all. I'm perfect.
Yes. You
it's
are.
Such a burden.
Oh, the world is Heisenberger. We see you. Let us affect you and are seeing you.
I would, but it's just like, it's just hard being God. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank
this
you.
Has been another episode of Minor Revelations with Drew Droege. I'd like to thank my guests, Joseph Scrimshaw and Anne Lane. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. DM me for rat head pictures. Bye.
Feral Audio.